Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on RFID technology when we come back. Hey, are you concerned about your privacy? Well, how much does your government know about you anyway, and how much do you want your government to know about you? Well, your government only knows as much about you as you tell them about yourself, and everything the government, industry, or business knows about you is because you told them. Now, the Fourth Amendment protects you when your person houses papers and effects, but it doesn't protect you from yourself. Now, can we have privacy in the computer age? And the answer is yes, we can. This information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. It's knowing how that information is gathered. It's knowing how and what that information is being used for and what it's stored for. And that information that you want to keep personal and private actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy when you know how to use it. Now, always keep in mind that no one knows anything about you that you haven't revealed by your own hand or by your own mouth. Now, if you'd like to learn more about privacy and privacy issues, why don't you call and ask for our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. Do that first. It's a four-hour program. It's entertaining, it's informative, it's educational. And best of all, it's free. All you have to do is call the law school and ask for it. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. RFID stands for Radio Frequency Identification and uses tiny computer chips smaller than a grain of sand to track items at a distance. RFID spy chips have been hidden in the packaging of Gillette razor products and other products that you might buy at your local Walmart, Target, or Tesco stores. And they're already being used to spy on people. Now, each tiny chip is hooked up to an antenna that picks up electromagnetic energy beamed at it from a reader device. When it picks up the energy, the chip sends back its unique identification number to the reader device, allowing the item to be remotely identified. Spy chips can beam back information anywhere from a couple of inches up to 20 or 30 feet away. Some of the world's largest product manufacturers have been plotting behind closed doors since 1999 to develop and commercialize this technology. And if they're not opposed, their plan is to use these remote chips, these readable spy chips, to replace the barcode. Now, RFID tags are not an improved barcode, as the proponents of the new technology would like you to believe. RFID technology differs from the barcodes in three very important ways. First of all, with today's barcode technology, every can of Coke has the same UPC or barcode number as every other can of Coke. So a can of Coke in Toronto has the same number as a can of Coke in Topeka, Kansas. However, with RFID technology, each individual can of Coke would have its own unique ID number, which could then be linked to the person buying that can of Coke when they scan a credit card or a frequent shopper card. For instance, it is a massive item registration system. And second, unlike a barcode, these chips can be read from a distance, right through your clothes, right through your wallet, right through your backpack or your purse, without your knowledge or consent by anybody with the right reading device. So in a way, it gives total strangers X-ray vision power to spy on you, to identify both you and the things that you're wearing or the things that you're carrying. And third, unlike the barcode, the RFID could be bad for your health. RFID supporters envision a world where RFID reader devices are everywhere. They'll be in stores, in floors, in doorways, on airplanes, even in the refrigerators and medicine cabinets of your home. In such a world, we and our children would be continually bombarded with electromagnetic energy, and researchers do not know the long-term health effects of chronic exposure to the energy emitted by these reader devices. Now, let me point you to the cell phone, which is now being linked to cancer because of the close proximity that you have with this cell phone and your head. Now, as consumers, we have no way of knowing which packages contain these chips. And while some chips are visible inside of a package, RFID chips can be well hidden. For example, they can be sewn into the seams of clothes. They can be sandwiched between layers of cardboard. They can be molded into plastic or rubber and then integrated into consumer package design. This technology is rapidly evolving and becoming more sophisticated. Now, RFID spy chips can even be printed, meaning that the dot on a printed letter I could be used to track you. In addition, the telltale copper antennas commonly seen attached to RFID chips can now be printed with conductive ink, making them nearly imperceptible. Companies are even experimenting with making the product packages themselves serve as the antennas. So as you can see, it would soon be virtually impossible for a consumer to know whether a product or package contains an RFID spy chip or not. And for this reason, Caspian, the creator of this website, is proposing federal labeling legislation, the RFID Right to Know Act, which would require complete disclosures on any consumer products containing RFID devices. We believe the public has an absolute right to know when they're interacting with technology that would affect their health or their privacy. Don't you? Well, let me make an observation here. Have you heard about the latest flap over the spy technology in which the National Defense Agency has been spying on Americans since 1985, monitoring every telephone call made in this country, whether it's made in this country or abroad? Now, that's been going on since 1985. Now, honest to God, kids, if you believe that you're going to go to Congress and get Congress to give you some kind of a law that says that you've got this RFID Right to Know Act, then you've got your head up the wrong end of your rectal region. It ain't going to happen, kids. So make up your mind that you're going to be spied on whether you like it or not. So let me bring you back to reality. And there's a prophecy here in the Bible that talks about this very technology. It's in Revelation 13, and it's around verse 14, 15, and 16 here. In verse 16 it says, "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now here is wisdom, and let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, because it's the number of a man, and his number is 666." That's 666. Now, you're not going to be able to buy or sell without this number. Already here in the United States, we're preparing our passports now with these RFID numbers. So everybody with a passport's going to have this RFID technology that he carries right in his inside coat pocket. Furthermore, every time you go to buy something, and this will be important as we go into famine times and we go into food rationing and things like that, like we did in World War II. See, we're getting ready for Armageddon. We're getting ready for World War III. The world's economies are about to implode. And when they do, people get restive. They get restless. They get upset and excited. And governments, in order to keep people under control, go to war. And that's the root cause of World War II. The Great Depression led into, the economic distress of the 30s led into World War II. The economic distress that you see now in the early 21st century will lead into World War III. And already here in America, we're talking about invading Iran and Syria. And just the other day, they put Cuba and Venezuela on a special watch list. There's a special agency in our intelligence community here in the United States in which we are working diligently night and day, 24/7, for regime change in Havana and Caracas. I mean, we're not playing games over here. We're going to have regime change. And if it takes war to do that, then that's so be it. And Americans need to get used to the idea that that's what's coming. Now, we're not going to have a military draft before the upcoming elections, but I would suspect that right after the elections, and that's, again, of course, if there are elections. I mean, we talk about these fall elections. I don't believe that the Republicans are going to give up power. Now, I could be dead wrong, and we could have a Democratic Congress, you know, next January 20th, but I kind of doubt that. I kind of doubt that. And then this RFID technology is a part and parcel with an overall plan that is leading to the second coming of the Messiah, probably in the next 10 or 20 years. Now, I'm not a prophet, and I can't tell you that Jesus is coming, but you know, Jesus himself in Matthew 24 said, you people can read the signs of the times in the weather, but you should be able to read the signs of the times. He says, when you see these events transpiring. So when I take a look at an article that comes across my desk, and I compare that with Revelation 13, 16 through 18, I say, oh yeah, yes sir, I can see that. And then you know that we're approaching that fateful moment. Now, this fateful moment of the second coming is going to be prefaced by a god-awful war that is going to kill approximately, that is the war and the famines and the disease that come from it, about 90% of the people on the planet. Now, that's biblical in its scope. You know, that's biblical in its revelation. Now, we talk about things, you know, like the bubonic plague back in the Middle Ages, you know, killing 100 million people. Or we talk about the Spanish flu killing 100 million people, you know, back in the 1918, 1920. Well, we're talking about killing right at 6 billion people. You know, just right at 6 billion. Now, that's never been done before. Not even Noah's flood, from the indications that we see here in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, would indicate that the population of the world had reached 6 billion. And he said that this time it's going to be worse than Noah's flood. Now, that's Jesus himself said that. He said, be worse than Noah's flood. The only thing I could think of being worse that left only 8 people alive was that the population at that time wasn't as big as it is today. Now, there's a little bit more on these RFID tags over here from news.com. Could we be constantly tracked through our clothes, shoes, or even our cash in the future? I'm not talking about having a microchip surgically implanted beneath your skin, which is what Applied Digital Systems of Palm Beach, Florida would like to do. Nor am I talking about John Poindexter's creepy total information awareness spy surveillance system, which I wrote about last week. Instead, in the future, we could be tracked because we'll be wearing, eating, and carrying objects that are carefully designed to do just that. And the generic name for this technology is RFID, which stands for Radio Frequency Identification. The RFID tags are minuscule microchips, which already have shrunk to half the size of a grain of sand. They listen for a radio query, and they respond by transmitting their unique ID code. Most RFID tags have no batteries. They use the power from the initial radio signal to transmit their response. And you should become familiar with RFID technology because you'll be hearing much more about it very soon. Retailers adore the concept, and the CNETnews.com's own Allery Gilbert wrote last week about how Walmart and the UK-based grocery chain Tesco are starting to install smart shelves with networked RFID readers in what will become the largest test of the technology. Consumer goods giant Gillette recently said that it would purchase 500 million of these RFID tags from Alien Technology of Morgan Hill, California. Now, Alien Technology won't reveal how it charges for each tag, but industry estimates hover around 25 cents. The company does predict that in quantities of 1 billion, RFID tags will approach 10 cents each. And in lots of 10 billion, the industry's holy grail of 5 cents a tag. And it becomes unnervingly easy to imagine a scenario where everything you buy that's more expensive than a Snickers candy bar will sport an RFID tag, which typically includes a 64-bit unique identifier that yields about 18,000 trillion possible values. KSW Microtech, a German company, has invented washable RFID tags designed to be sewn into clothing. And according to EE Times, the European Central Bank is considering embedding RFID tags into banknotes by 2005. And that raises the disquieting possibility of being tracked through your personal possessions. Now just imagine this. The Gap links your sweater's RFID tag with the credit card that you use to buy it, and it recognizes you by name when you return. Grocery stores flash ads on wall-sized screens based on your spending patterns, just like in Minority Report. Police gain a trendy method of constant cradle-to-the-grave surveillance of you. Now think about this for a second, children. Let's suppose, for the sake of our discussion here, that you go into Sam's. I mean, they do this already. So if you've got a Sam's card, you're already being tracked. It works like this. You go into Sam's and you've got your cards, and this card goes through the machine, and then it links that card with this purchase. It goes into a computer, and then later, let's say a year or 5 years from now, let's suppose that the IRS wants to audit you. So they go through the Sam's records. They could go through, you know, if this becomes worldwide or nationwide, you know, they can go through all of your purchases. And let's suppose that you're making $20,000 a year in your job, but you're spending $30,000 a year. Well, that ought to trigger an audit, shouldn't it? Hey, where'd you get this extra $10,000? You know, never mind that it's you're spending your savings. Never mind that Aunt Bertha gave it to you. And the government comes in and says, well, gee, if Aunt Bertha gave it to you, then how come you didn't pay your gift tax? Or if you inherited it from Uncle Louie, how come you didn't pay your inheritance tax? See where we're going with this, kid? Government will have control over you from the cradle to the grave. You won't make a dollar that the government doesn't know about, and you won't spend 50 cents on a Snickers candy bar that the government can't identify the date, time, and place that you bought it. And it could get down to this, and it's already here, but it could really get really neat. For instance, up in New England, I think it was Maine, the welfare department up there decided that they didn't want to give people food stamps, they didn't want to give them money to go out and buy things with, because those people might not buy things that the welfare department social lady approved of. So they gave them all credit cards. They gave them a special credit card. This credit card now is linked up with their computer system. So let's suppose that Genie welfare recipient goes down to the local store and she buys Captain Crunch Cocoa Puffs. And social lady looks at the nutritional value of Captain Crunch Cocoa Puffs and says, oh my God, Gini welfare recipient over here isn't spending government money on the right kinds of foods. And so they come out and they say, well, we want to do an inspection of your kitchen cabinets. And so they come into your house and they do a search and they find out that, oh my God, yes, sir, Gini welfare recipient, she's buying these nutritionless, expensive, prepackaged and prepared breakfast cereals for her children, and they're not approved. And so therefore, we're going to punish you now. We're going to straighten you out. Now, you can spend your money on Brussels sprouts and broccoli, but you can't spend your money on Captain Crunch Cocoa Puffs. I mean, that's already in the mill. That's already active technology going on right now today. Now, you might sit there and say, well, you know, these welfare moms, they probably need some guidance. Well, okay, but that's what freedom is all about. You know, if you come over here to Gini Welfare Mom and you say, well, we're going to take your free moral agency away from you. We're not going to let you choose the kind of breakfast cereal that you think you ought to feed your children. We think we know better what it is you ought to eat. Okay, well, let's just apply that to you. Well, then can't government come along and decide what it is that you ought to eat? Or what kind of gasoline you ought to be buying? Or what kind of automobiles you ought to buy? I mean, is there any point in time when we have privacy? Is there anything that government ought not to know about you? Is there anything that you'd like to keep personal and private? That's what the bottom line is. Now, if you want to draw welfare, well, then you're going to have to submit to inspections. And after all, that's what privacy, or the lack of it, is all about. You know, Americans want Social Security. We call it in this country the third rail of politics. But if you're going to have Social Security, then there's a certain amount of privacy you have to lose or give up in order to have that. For instance, the amount of money that you make and how much of it you pay taxes on. It's all traceable, you know, based upon your Social Security deductions. And just like the welfare lady over here, you know, who's checking up on the welfare recipient, you've got the IRS checking up on you and finding out whether or not you paid the right amount of tax and finding out whether or not you've got any income coming in that you ought to be reporting that you're not. And somebody's going to say, well, in that case, you know, well, then they're breaking the law. Well, you know, government just makes its own laws, don't they? You know, government could outlaw blonde hair in the morning if they decided to. Now, I don't know that government ought to do that. And maybe all you brunettes out there might agree with that all blonde hair ought to be abolished, you know, as a matter of law, and people with blonde hair ought to be locked up in prison for 30 years. Government can make all kinds of crazy laws. In fact, they already have. We have 2.5 million laws here in the United States. God only gave us 759. God can run the entire universe on 759 laws. We got to have 2.5 million here in the United States. And I've said before, if 2.5 million are good, wouldn't 5 million be twice as good? And keep in mind that every law limits somebody's freedom of choice to some degree. Every time you enact some new piece of legislation, kids, you are restricting your liberty to some degree. And by the time you have 10 million laws, you'll have four times less freedoms and four times more government surveillance and control over you than you have today. And you know, a lot of you people are writing me letters and complaining, and you say, well, I live in the People's Republic of Michigan or California or the People's Republic of Kansas. Can you imagine what the People's Republic of Kansas is going to be like when you have twice as many laws or three or four times as many laws? No, if you want more freedom, more decision-making capacity left in your hands, then you want fewer and fewer laws. So the next time you hear somebody say, what we need is a new law, just remember that that new law is going to impact upon your freedom and your liberty to some degree. Now, I sometimes watch people, you know, in the supermarket and the things that they buy. I look in their shopping carts and I say, oh my God, do those people understand what that's doing to their health? And I presume that they don't, because it would seem like to me if somebody knew that a package of Oreo cookies laced with hydrogenated vegetable oil, which is a heavy dose of trans fat, which is going to block your arteries, wouldn't buy that, wouldn't eat it, and would avoid it like AIDS, herpes, and VD. So when I see a package of Oreos in somebody's shopping cart, my presumption is, I guess they don't understand what the problem is with that package, or they wouldn't be buying it. But then I come back to the concept of freedom of choice. You know, let's suppose that lady does, in fact, know what she's buying. Does she really need a George Gordon to come over there to act as the cookie police and tell her that this is a mistake, or to take that package away from her, slap her up alongside the face and tell her, you dummy, let me take this away from you and protect you from yourself, you stupid woman? Do you really want a cookie policeman out there telling you that you can't eat those cookies, but you can eat these cookies over here? You know, it could well be that you don't like those good cookies. You know, maybe you don't like broccoli cookies. Maybe you prefer the chocolate chip cookies. I don't know. But don't you want to have the right to make that choice for yourself unimpeded and unsupervised and unobserved by anybody else? Do you really want the government observing what it is that you're buying? Now, can you imagine nightmare legal scenarios that don't involve the cops? You know, future divorce cases could involve one party seeking a subpoena for RFID logs to prove that a spouse was in a certain location at a certain time. Future burglars could canvas alleys with RFID detectors looking for RFID tags on discarded packaging that indicates expensive electronic gear is nearby. In all of these scenarios, the ability to remain anonymous is being eroded. Now, you can rest assured that the criminals out there are going to have these RFID code readers. You know, you're not going to keep that away from the mafia or the Cosa Nostra. You're not going to keep that away from gangs. You know, these are the people that are stealing your ID today. Now, the government's going to come to you and say, well, we're going to implant this chip under your skin here in your right hand and in your forehead, and that'll protect you, you see. That'll protect your identity. Kids, all that means is that to steal your identity, somebody's going to kidnap you, cut off your hand and cut off your head to get your ID tag so that they can go access your bank account with it. That's all that means. So if you think the government can protect you, why don't you take a look at New Orleans and Biloxi, Mississippi, and then ask yourselves, well, if government can protect New Orleans and Biloxi in the way that they've been doing over the past year, and I'd like to have the same kind of protection with RFID technology or some spy technology to protect me just like they protected New Orleans and Biloxi. Huh? Come on. So don't get me wrong. You know, RFID tags are, on the whole, a useful development, and it's a compelling technology. They permit retailers to slim inventory levels and reduce theft, which one industry group estimates at $50 billion a year. So people are stealing from Walmart at the rate of $50 billion a year, you know, Walmart and everybody else. And I'm not opposed to Walmart using this technology. You know, they do this at the Walmart store, at least at the Sam's here in Springfield. I happened to be in there the other day, and I was observing the security precautions. And so we came up to the cash register there, and we had some sacks of beans on this cart, see. Now, there was six sacks of beans, and then there was some other packages. Very simple. All you had to do was to scan one sack and then multiply that times six, and you'd have it, wouldn't you? And then there was 16 other packages, all the same item over here. So all you had to do is scan one, count the 16 packages, and punch in 16. And I told that girl that. I said, okay, there's the beans there, and then there's the packages of toilet paper there. And then there's a few odd items over here, you know. And so I took the six odd items out, and I put them on the stand, and I said, you can scan them. I said, oh, no, I got to move each one of these. She said, I gotta move. So she left, and she went over and she got another cart, same size cart, and she brought it over, and then she physically picked up each one of those 50-pound sacks of beans and put it on the cart and scanned each one of them one at a time. And then she did the same thing for the packages of toilet paper, and then she did the same thing for each of the single items over there, and then she rang it all up, handed us the ticket, and then we walked over to the door. And then when we got over to the door, there's a lady over at the door, and she takes your ticket. And then she goes down your ticket, and she counts each item that's on that ticket and each item that's on that cart, and then she gives you your clearance, and then you can walk out of the store. So, you know, just being an old country boy, I said, my God, they must have a lot of theft going on here, because they evidently figured that I must have hidden something in those sacks of beans, or, you know, between the sacks or between the packages, which, you know, it'd be easy enough to do. I could take a little package of, say, Gillette razor blades and just stick them down in there between the beans, and she'd scan the beans and charge them, and then I'd be stealing the razor blades. And I suppose that there's a lot of that goes on, and they're not dumb people, you know. I mean, they get ripped off, and they figure out these rip-off schemes, and so they have to go through all of this work of moving all of this stuff a second time. And I said, well, okay, it's all right by me, you know, if that's what you people want to do, get after it. But it would seem like to me, you know, if we were just all honest people, it'd be a hell of a lot easier to just scan one and multiply it times six. But anyway, there's that story. Well, it's a $50 billion a year problem here, and they want to solve that, and I don't blame them. You know, I don't blame them. I don't mind having an RFID tag. After all, it's their tag. But I'll tell you what I'm objecting to. Once I walk out of there and I've got those beans and now I've paid for them and now they're my beans, do I really want this RFID tag in my beans that I'm going to take home with me? And then somebody someplace in a satellite up here, you know, going overhead is going to beam down and say, oh, there's those six sacks of beans. Old Gordon's got them out there in his storeroom or in his pantry. And now we know how many beans old Gordon's got. And I, you know, I really don't want you to know how many beans I've got. And they're doing this with cattle. I'll tell you about this cattle thing here. You know, they got this cattle ID thing coming up in the year 2009. They want, the government now comes along, they tell all of us cattlemen out here, that they want us to put these RFID chips in our cows. Some of the local people around here are really getting upset about that. Well, you know, what they're going to do is this, and they've already got this kind of a program. They want all of your cattle vaccinated. Now, I've got clean cattle. I don't have any vaccinated cattle here on my place at all. They're born here. And they're not vaccinated. But if I take one of my cattle over to the sale and I run them through the sale barn, you can't buy an unvaccinated cow out of a sale barn. They're going to have snake venom and monkey pus shot into their veins whether you like it or not, because the cow cannot leave the sale barn without vaccinations. You can bring them in without vaccinations, but you can't take them out. All right, now watch what's going to happen. The day is coming with this government snoop, super snooper program with RFID tags in cattle. And I want to sell a cow, and I'll call the punch. I'll say, punch, haul this cow over to the sale barn, and the cow will get over to the sale barn, and they'll run the reader over and say, hey, this cow hasn't been identified. You cannot sell this cow through the sale barn. See what's coming, boys and girls? That's Revelation 13, 16. You're not going to be able to buy, sell, or trade without the mark of the beast. Now, I'm going to show you here that if you have the mark of the beast, God says that he's going to kill you. And that's where 90% of people on planet Earth are headed, you know. So we're all of us caught between a rock and a hard spot. You got the government over here saying if you don't have the mark of the beast, you're going to starve to death, and you got God telling you over here on the other hand, you get the mark of the beast, and I'm going to kill you. And let me give you a reminder here, give you some good news here for a change. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. And the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Now, to order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's 417-273-4967. And we're talking about RFID, radio frequency identification. Now, the privacy threat comes when RFID tags remain active once you leave the store. You know, that's the scenario that should raise alarms. And currently, the RFID industry seems to be giving mixed signals about whether the tags will be disabled or left enabled by default. With RFID tags providing economic efficiencies for these businesses, consumers likely will end up with more choices and lower prices. And besides, wouldn't it be handy to grab a few items from store shelves and simply walk out with the purchase automatically debited from your RFID credit card? Now, we're coming up to what we call the cashless society. When the world's economies collapse, which they're on the verge of doing right now with these fiat currencies, governments around the world are going to have to come up with a new solution, a new money. And now we have this problem with identity theft. And they're just going to solve that problem in one fell swoop. They'll come up here with these RFID tags. And if you want one, you know, you come in and get it in your right hand and you get it in your forehead. And if you don't want one, that's fine. It'll be a choice for you to make. And then the kicker will be this. You know, let's suppose our economy collapses and, you know, you're Joe Sixpack or Joe Finkelstein and you've got a mortgage on your car and you've got a mortgage on your house and you got a job working over here. And so the economy collapses like it did in 1929, 30, 31, and then there's all this economic chaos and there's unemployment. And there's all kinds of identity theft and there's problems and civil unrest and wars going on. And so the government simply says, well, listen, Joe, tell you what we'll do. You come in and get your RFID tag in your forehead and in your hand and we'll refinance all of your debts and give you a job over here so that you can work for the government or you can work for this corporation, which is supported by the government. And we won't have any of that nasty old Federal Reserve note money anymore or any of that old gold and silver stuff anymore. We'll have this real modern, chic, up-to-date stuff, you know, where you have this card. And look how convenient it'll be. You can just walk into Walmart, pick up your stuff, walk out the door, and as you walk out the door, it'll automatically just debit it, the price of it right from your card. And when you work, we'll just automatically credit your account, and we'll just automatically deduct your taxes. Everything will be done for you automatically. You won't have any decision-making that you have to be involved in. It'll all be done for you. It's kind of like mom and dad making all the decisions for a 5-year-old kid. They decide when he should get up in the morning, what he should do during the day, and when he should go to bed at night. That mom and dad decide what the kid should wear, what the kid should eat, what the kid should do, what the kid should say, what the kid should think. I mean, all that's done by parents. And government is fully capable of taking on that role for the entire society. And indeed, the New World Order people think they can do it for the entire world. They'll just regiment your entire world for you. Won't that just be real special? In an interview with News.com's Gilbert last week, Gillette Vice President Dick Cantwell said that its RFID tags would be disabled at the cash register only if the consumer chooses to opt out and asks for the tags to be turned off. The protocol for the tag is that it has built-in opt-out function for the retailer, manufacturer, and consumer, Cantwell said. Okay. Well, that sounds pretty good. You know, you walk up to the cash register and you say, hey, turn this thing off. All right. And so they turn it off, and you walk out, and your privacy is protected. Well, isn't that just real special? All right. Now, let's suppose that you got a law here now. See, we got Congress, and they enact this law, and by God, you know, they got to do this. All right. Now, let's suppose that President Bush comes along with one of his signing orders, and he says, well, that law is great for, you know, as far as it goes, but we're not going to be bound by it if we don't want to. It's one of his signing statements. Then what are you going to do? Or what if President Bush says, well, that's all well and good, but you know, you look like a terrorist to us, and so we got to trace you, we got to track you. Or what if, like the other day, you know, the president says, well, we got to have the telephone records of every American to see whether or not he's made any calls overseas to Pakistan so that we can monitor those calls and see if this guy is harboring terrorists. You know, let's grow up and be a real big kid, shall we? You know, this kind of technology, you know, once this cat gets out of the bag, is not going to be limited any more than nuclear weapons are going to be limited. You know, once that cat got out of the bag in 1945, then a lot of other kids on the block wanted to have that cat too, and that's where the Iranians are today. They want to have one of those cats, one of those nuclear cats, and they're going to get one, or else we're going to go to war. Now, we got a little problem now with these Iranians over here because the Russians and Chinese are backing the Iranians, and we Americans and Europeans are backing the Jews, and, you know, there's this confrontation coming over there. This Lebanon thing is just a test. We got more coming. So you can just about bet that President Bush is going to nix this over here, and Walmart, you know, they said that that's not the case. When asked if Walmart will disable the RFID tags at the checkout, the company spokesman Bill Wirtz told Gilbert, my understanding is that we won't. So I don't know, you know, are they going to disable them or not? Now, you know, if they were disabled, you know, that would be fine. Or if we had the technology or the ability to disable it. And I remember when I started today's program, I told you a little story here about, are you concerned about your privacy and how much does your government know about you? Well, how much do you want them to know? So, you know, it may well be that you and I are going to have to take extra measures to protect our privacy. You know, that's what it boils down to. You know, if you want to protect your privacy, it isn't going to be protected by Walmart. And Gillette says, well, yeah, we will. But don't these corporations lie to us an awful lot? Doesn't the government lie to us, you know, with some regularity? They tell us one thing, you know, like I can remember when they said, well, your social security number is private and never be used for your identification. And that worked from 1935 to 64. And then they made your social security number your taxpayer identification number. Now you can't do business without your social security number. In fact, the other day I went to buy something, kind of a big item. And I said, I'll just pay you cash when you deliver it. And it's a container. You know, one of these shipping containers? I want to buy one of those. And I called this company in Los Angeles, and I said, just send it out. They've got a drop-off place, I guess, over in St. Louis. And I called them. I said, can you people deal in cash, C-A-S-H, you know, $100 bills or gold or silver or wheat, corn, beans, onion, oil? And they assured me, yeah, they could. They could deal in cash. I said, good. Load that thing up, drive it over here, unload it, and I'll just peel off these binges, and you sign me a receipt, and we'll call it a deal. And they said, yeah, we can handle it. And then they said, well, they called me back and said, well, we got to have the paperwork filled out. I said, okay. They sent the paperwork out, and I read the paperwork, and I got my 10-power loop glasses out here, and I read the fine print, which I decided right away only a lunatic or a moron would sign a contract like this. And so I told them, I said, I don't want any credit. I don't want to sign any contract. They wanted to know my name and address, and they wanted to know where to deliver the thing. And I said, well, that makes all the sense in the world. And so I told them my name and address and where to deliver it. But I said, you know, my social security number really isn't relevant to the transaction because it's a cash transaction. And then they wanted to know about my credit cards, you know, Visa and MasterCard. And, you know, I really didn't want to tell them too much about my Visa and MasterCard. I said, again, I really don't want to put this on my credit card. I just want to pay in cash. And pretty soon they said, well, we got to have these filled out, because if we don't have these filled out, we can't sell you this container. The bottom line was that without the credit information on the paperwork, including Social Security, they can't sell you a container. Which brings us back to Revelation 13:16 that says, without the mark of the beast, your Social Security account, you can't buy or sell. Wake up, kids. Wake up. So now, it isn't that I can't buy the container. It's being delivered Tuesday. It's that you can't buy the container in that format or in that form. I mean, you gotta be a little smarter, you know, than the average bureaucrat or the average corporation. You gotta figure out a way, well, how can I get that? How can I get it delivered? How can I buy that? How can I pay for that thing like everybody else? And the same thing is true with these RFID tags. You know, if you use your head, you can disable these tags as you use these goods and you take them out of the store. First thing you need to be aware of is that the goods that you're buying contain these tags. And right now, you know, it's probably kind of innocuous. You buy a bag of beans and it's got an RFID tag maybe sewn into the paper of the bag. So you take the bag home and you take the beans out of the bag and you put them into plastic containers with diatomaceous earth, and then you take the RFID bags and you burn them. I think that'll probably take care of that problem. Now, another thing that we might have to do is we might need to be able to get a hold of one of these RFID readers when this technology gets cooking, so that when we bring our clothes home and we say, well, gee, I bought this down at Best Buy or Target or wherever, and or Walmart, and it's probably got an RFID tag sewn into the seam here, and you need to use your RFID reader to find where and what seam this little grain of sand is located. And then you might have to get in there with your 10-power loop and dig this little RFID tag out. You ever think about that? So I think that privacy then is going to require a little more work on our part. It's not impossible. Not impossible. I got to tell you a little story here. I had a car one time. And this car wasn't registered and wasn't insured here in Missouri. And so I drove out on the road and this cop came up and stopped me and he gave me a ticket. And I thought, well, you know, things like that happen. So I'm driving down the road, and pretty soon another cop stops me, and he gives me a ticket. And so it dawned on me. I said, you know, this thing's got a radio on. This thing is emitting radio signals, and every cop that goes by and can read that signal says this car isn't registered. Well, they've got that technology now. See, they can just read your license plate, and they can see whether or not it's current or not. So if you're wondering why you're getting stopped, it isn't because the cop's super smart. It's because he's got electronic technology. Same thing is true with money. See, you know, you're a drug dealer. And you're driving down the road, and you got $1 million in the trunk of your car. And the highway patrol guy stops you, and he says, I want to look in your trunk. And you're really surprised that you got stopped. You shouldn't be surprised. He's got an RFID reader that reads the money. Those strips that you've got in your money, you know those strips in there, those are RFID tags. Didn't you know that? Been in there for many, many years. So the policeman, you know, he's sitting alongside the road, and you're driving by, and he says, oh, my God, look at that car. It's got thousands and thousands of little RFID tags in there. And it says to him, he's got thousands and thousands of little pieces of paper in there. There are hundreds and hundreds of them. So he stops and looks, and sure enough, they find $2 million. They do that around Springfield quite often. And that's because a lot of drug trafficking goes up and down this Highway 44. So you need to understand, boys and girls, that privacy is being electronically invaded. And so you need to have some kind of a defense to that. Now, Cantwell asserts that there's no reason to fret. At this stage of the game, the tag is no good outside the store, he said. At this point in time, the tag is useless beyond the store shelf. And there's no value and no harm in the tag outside the distribution channel. There's no way it can be read or that the data would be at all meaningful to anyone. Well, that's true as far as it goes, but it doesn't address what might happen if RFID tags and readers become widespread. Now, if the tags stay active after they leave the store, the biggest privacy worries depend on the range of the RFID readers. There's a big difference between tags that can be read from an inch away compared to dozens or hundreds of feet away. For its part, Alien Technology says its RFID tags can be read up to 15 feet away. All right. Now, that's what they're telling you. So just multiply that times 10, that's 150. And then with additional technology, it can probably be 1,500 feet. Now, last I heard is these RFID tags now can be read up to a quarter of a mile away. Quarter of a mile. Now, of course, you know, the Department of Defense and Raytheon and Boeing and Lockheed Martin, they're not going to tell you how far that they can read those things. Now, boys and girls, just because something appears in print and you see it written down, you know, or typed out here or printed on a piece of paper, that doesn't mean that it's true. Government lies to you constantly. Business, trade, commerce, business and industry, insurance companies, they lie to you all the time. You people down on the Gulf Coast, when you were buying that insurance down there, you know, that hurricane insurance, didn't you believe that if there was a hurricane and your house was swept away in a hurricane, that you'd be compensated for that? Didn't the agent imply, if he didn't directly tell you, that you'd be compensated? And then you found out when the tidal wave came in, oh, we don't cover water damage, just wind damage. Okay, so didn't the insurance company lie to you? And do you think that George Bush spying on us, do you think they're telling us about all the spying activities that are going on, or you think maybe we found out the three or four that have been publicized, but there's four or five more that haven't been publicized because we haven't found out about them yet? You know, it's time to wake up. Now, God told you in Revelation 13:16 that there was going to be worldwide universal spying and that you wouldn't be able to buy, sell, or trade. You won't buy a Snickers candy bar without your government's knowledge, perhaps even their permission, but certainly without the government's knowledge. Now, that's not freedom. That's a guardian ward relationship. That's a five-year-old kid being protected by his parents. Now, if these tags can be read up to 15 feet away, and then that was it, that wouldn't be a problem, would it? But when we talk about the range of these tags being 3 to 5 meters, that's range in free space, said Tom Pounds, the company vice president. That's optimally oriented in front of a reader in free space. In fact, if you put a tag up against your body or on a metal Rolex watch in free space, the read range drops to zero. But what about a more powerful RFID reader? What about an RFID reader created by criminals or police who don't mind violating FCC regulations? Eric Blossom, he's a veteran radio engineer, said it would not be difficult to build a beefier transmitter and a more sensitive receiver that would make the range for greater, or make it far greater. I don't see any problem building a sensitive receiver, Blossom said. It's well-known technology, and particularly if it's a specialty item where you're willing to spend five times as much. Boys and girls, you know, our government spends billions of dollars on intelligence apparatus and electronic sensors and readers so that they can monitor telephone calls around the world. Don't you think that they would like to know, you know, for instance, where the dynamite and the explosives are, or where the products are that you're buying? I mean, you know, let's suppose you go into the Terry's feed and you buy some nitrogen fertilizer. Well, you know, the government wants to know where that nitrogen fertilizer is, because nitrogen is one of the ingredients for fertilizer bombs. And then when you go over and you buy some diesel, you know, the farm truck comes out and they fill up your tank out here with diesel. And every farmer in the country is well equipped with nitrogen fertilizer and diesel to build bombs. It's no big mystery. Don't you think that the government wants to know where the nitrogen is and where the diesel is and where all the parts are, you know, for the detonators and things like that? I don't believe for a moment that Boeing or Raytheon or some, you know, super tech company has now got readers that can read these RFID tags from satellites in space. I wouldn't be surprised at all. And that they could probably read the satellite, or read the RFID chip through a satellite in space right through the roof of your house and tell where it's located in your house. So kids, if you want some privacy, then you're going to have to work at it. And it isn't going to come accidentally. Now, you can have privacy, and privacy is not something that you ought to take lightly. In fact, privacy comes from God. Privacy comes from the Scripture. It's a part of property and property rights, the exact opposite from the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. It comes from the Ten Commandments. I'm about out of time. I'm going to have to leave it right there. We'll pick it up here next time on these RFID tags. I got a little bit more I want to report to you on this radio frequency identification. But until then, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. And if you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time. Same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.